Take your Bible tonight, and I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 6. Psalm chapter 6. I announced this morning the sermon tonight is called Scriptural Church Discipline. Psalm chapter 6. You say, preacher, are we going to talk about the church firing squad tonight? No. But I'll tell you what, I've heard of churches that behave that way. I don't think we ought to take anybody behind the barn and beat them. I don't think we're supposed to be burning people, and I don't think you take them out and shoot them. When I was in high school, we had a thing that we called the paddling machine. Y'all ever seen a paddling machine? The way it worked is a boy, there were about five or six guys would stand one after another, and you would make someone. One guy get on his knees, hands and knees, and crawl through your legs. And when he came through, you paddled him on the right end of the body. It worked really well. That was one of our forms of discipline when I was a kid. We put somebody through the paddling machine. Psalm chapter 6. If you found it, stand with me if you will. Psalm chapter 6. We're going to read three or four verses here. I'll read out loud. You can follow along silently. Psalm chapter 6. Look at verse number 1. O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul. O save me, for thy mercy's sake. Look back at me, if you will. I want you to notice here that someone is asking for healing. Someone is asking, when God corrects them, he's saying, I want to be corrected, but God, I really don't want you mad at me. I don't want you hot under the collar with me. Have mercy on me. And here we're talking about a situation that needs discipline, but we see in the scripture that God himself, he has a certain way of handling it. Now, we're going to pray and we'll get started. Father, bless us tonight. In a special way, meet with us. Holy Spirit of God, help our sermon, though it's instructional, help it, Lord, to strengthen our church. May we leave this place having a better grasp on your way of handling things in our church and in our lives. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may have a seat there. I've told this story in this pulpit before, but I've got to tell it again. I was counseling with a mom and a dad, and they had a teenage boy. And the teenage boy was getting into some trouble, and he was doing some things behind his mom and dad's back and misbehaving, and the parents decided they were going to discipline him. And so, you know, parents, you ought to continue to discipline your children, even if they're teenagers. You don't let them start getting away with murder just because they're teenagers. But this boy, let me tell you what he said. He came to see me, and we talked for a little while, and he said, Pastor, he said, I'm kind of tired of the rules with my mom and dad. He was getting a little older. Now, we're not talking about a 12 or a 13-year-old. We're talking about someone that was getting up there nearer to graduating from high school. And he said, and my mom and dad, they corrected me, and I'll be honest, I didn't like it. And this was what he said. He said, I cannot wait until I'm 18. And I thought he's going to say, well, I turn 18, I'm moving out of the house, I'm going to go do what I want. And young people, that's never the way to act. Never the way to act. But that's what I thought he was going to say. He said, I can't wait till I turn 18. I get tired of being told what to do, and I get tired of being disciplined by my parents. And then he said, when I turn 18, I am going to join the Marines, and this is going to end. And that's what I said. And I told him, I said, of course, you don't want to do that, and that's not the right way to act. But the carnal part of me thought, have at it, bud. You think your mom and dad discipline or correct you now? You wait until your drill sergeant or your CO gets a hold of you. You'll be wishing you were back home in mama's arms. I'll guarantee it. You know, any organization must have rules and guidelines. You know, the Bible is virtually a book that's full of guidelines and rules. When rules are broken, then their discipline is doled out or given. We know this. Lucifer was in heaven. He was an archangel. He broke the rules, and therefore he was disciplined by God. Now, man is a sinner. And you and I, whether we like it or not, we're rule breakers. Now, man sets up some rules, and those are okay, but I have to tell you, the ultimate rules, or the ultimate guidelines, the ultimate commandments are God's. And because man breaks the rules, then God has a process that where man then must be corrected. Churches have to have discipline. If not, the devil will run wild, and there'll be no organization, there'll be no order. Obviously, if there is not discipline and those guidelines in a church, then God's not going to bless it. Now, so you know, I've been the pastor here for 2.5 years, or maybe a little more than that. I have practiced church discipline here. You say, well, I didn't see you take a baseball bat to anybody. Well, that nowhere in the Bible does it say you're supposed to do that. But there's a variety of ways that discipline is taken care of in a church. We all need discipline from time to time. All of us do. Now, let me very quickly say a couple of things to you about how you and I are to handle discipline. For instance, Proverbs 3:11 says, "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction." Folks, when we are disciplined, we are not to despise it. You young people, when mom and dad discipline you or correct you, when you despise them, your despite is unscriptural. And I might add this also, it's dangerous. Is dangerous. Proverbs chapter 7 verse 22 says, "He goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stalks." Here the Bible is saying that there's some people when they're corrected, they act foolishly. Now, so God is saying to you, look, don't despise that discipline, and then don't act foolishly about that discipline. Now, in Proverbs 15:10, it says, "Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way." It's grievous to people when they get disciplined when they're out of God's will. Listen to what it said. "Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way." When you are properly disciplined, you are properly corrected, and then that grieves you, it proves you're out of God's will. The people who are in God's will that get nudged by God or by a leader back into God's will, the ones that are right with God, it's not totally destructive to their attitude. But the further you are from God, when you get corrected, the wilder you get in your response, the more carnal, the more fleshly you are in your response. So young people, when mom and dad try to correct you, and you just throw your royal fit, and with your threats and with that intent inside you that just obvious of rebellion, it's just further proof of how far away from God you are. Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." So here, discipline or correction can help remove foolishness from a life. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 3 says, "O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? For thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return." Do you know that when you are disciplined, when you are corrected, if you don't take it like you're supposed to, the Bible's talking about you becoming hard. And if you become hard-hearted, you're going to become hard-headed, and you'll destroy yourself. You'll destroy yourself. You can tell when someone has an element of being right with God. When they're corrected, they handle it right. They handle it right. The worse you handle correction, the farther away from God you are. Jeremiah 7:28 says, "But thou shalt say unto them, This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord their God, nor receiveth correction." People that reject correction and reject discipline are rejecting the word of God. This is what it said. "This is a nation that obeyeth not the voice of the Lord." What's the voice of the Lord? That's the word of God. nor receiveth correction. Those are bundled up in one verse. God is saying, when you reject the word of God, you turn it out to be a correction rejector. You correct, you reject that correction. Now, we are to, you say, why would we talk about discipline, or what's the purpose, or what are we trying to accomplish here? Now, see, let me say this. Discipline is good for God. So people are to be disciplined or corrected in life because it's good for God. That's why we do everything, is to glorify God. But then discipline is good for the church. Discipline is good for the individual that is being corrected or being disciplined. Discipline is very good for the young Christians. You know, you correct, and maybe we're talking about the correction of a young Christian, but we're also talking about when a young Christian sees that discipline is there, they might not be guilty of anything. But the Bible says, smite the scorner, that the simple beware. What does that mean? When a young Christian sees that you get out of line, there is a discipline that comes. That young Christian is less apt to get out of line. But if people are allowed to run wild and do anything they want, any way they want, behave how they want, then it makes everybody think, well, that must be okay. Now, it's not okay. It's not okay. The onlooking world needs to see that we, in our homes, discipline, and in our church, we discipline. Now, we're to discipline in love. We're to discipline in patience. We're to discipline with fairness and justice. And most of the time, and I mean most of the time, I can't put a percentage on it, but a very, very high percentage of the time, it's done in a private way where dignity is not stolen from someone, but the discipline is still there. Let me tell you this. Disunity. You cause disunity. You cause you cause division among God's people. The Bible teaches that ought to be discipline. That ought to be corrected. Romans 16:17 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Here the Bible says you cause disunity, you cause division in the church, that ought to be disciplined. That ought to be corrected. Now, I'm going to talk to you about discipline. You say, wow, is somebody going to get disciplined? I hope many somebody's get disciplined. I do. Yeah, but you don't have to fear. Hear me out and let me show you what the Bible teaches, and let me show you about this thing of church discipline. First of all, self-discipline is the best route. Self-discipline is the best route. Daniel chapter 10 verse 2 says, "Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God." Here, the Bible says that Daniel corrected Daniel. And God noticed it. God pointed out. God said, "Daniel, I noticed you were chastening yourself." You all do know that God loved to hear from Daniel in prayer. But I think that's because God looked down and looked at Daniel and said, "Daniel, you even got some integrity with Daniel." Let me tell you all something. When you get to lying to yourself, you're in trouble. I mean, who is left that knows the truth about you? So self-discipline is the very best thing. Hey, you all want to do me a favor? I wish the members of our church would self-discipline. You correct you. Then we'll never have any tension because somebody else has to do it. You don't feel like it was done right. You don't feel like they handled that right. You know what? You would have been far better off doing it right yourself. Why require somebody else to do it? And there are times when it has to be done. But if you would do it, it wouldn't seem like somebody else would have to do it. I worked for Brother Hiles for 18 years. He had a policy. If you corrected yourself, it's pretty rare that he ever corrected you. So if I did something stupid, which, by the way, I did my fair share of stupid things, you know what I wanted? I wanted to get to him and fess up. I wanted to confess and get it over with. The last thing I wanted was my boss, the preacher, to call me in and say, "We're going to have a talk." He'd go to his office. So somebody wanted to talk with him, they'd go by the office. If I did something and I thought, you know, I'm probably going to get in trouble for that. That didn't turn out the way I thought it was going to turn out. You know what I'd do? I'd go see him and I'd say, "Preacher, just wanted to talk to you about something." And then I would tell him what I had done. And he treated me very graciously. We taught our kids growing up, if you do wrong, you come to me and you let me know. Don't make me have to come find it. Don't let make me find it out secondhand. I said, "I'll make you a promise. You come tell me, you get to me before everybody else finds out, and we'll reduce the penalty." There are times I probably would have never found out some of the little things that they did, but they thought, it's better coming clean than leaving this no sense in letting this hang out there. But what do we talk about? Self-discipline. It's an excellent sign of maturity. Children need to be taught to discipline themselves. In other words, you do wrong, you correct you. You get it right. Teenagers need to learn to self-discipline. Psalm 69:10, David said, "When I wept and chastened my soul." David said, "I was chastening me." You know, some of you would not be as offended with some of my preaching if you would just do what you're supposed to do without having to have somebody tell you that you're supposed to do it. But when the preacher has to get up and hit it hard because you're not doing what you ought to do, then you stand the chance of being offended with me. You wouldn't be offended with me if you'd look yourself right in your own God-given eyeball, look right in the mirror and say, "You need to knock it off." But if you won't do that, then somewhere along the way, if God wants you disciplined, it's going to pop up. So what's the best discipline? Self-discipline. You get on you. Secondly, we have the Holy Spirit to discipline us. What another wonderful way for discipline. I could get on me, or the Holy Spirit could discipline me. Romans chapter 8, verse 13 says, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." Here it said through the Spirit. Now the words there, mortify the deeds of the body, mortify means kill. It means the Holy Spirit within you will help you to correct your flesh. The Holy Spirit will tell you to discipline your own body. The Holy Spirit will tell you to discipline your own mind. Here's what happened. You got saved. You asked Jesus to come into your heart and save you. Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit of God, came within you. Now, so you understand, the same Holy Spirit that is sealed in me is sealed in you. That Holy Spirit has a way of talking to you. He gets together with your conscience. And you're about to do something dumb, or you just did something dumb. And I'm talking about something sinful, something you should not do. And that Holy Spirit will say to you, "Don't do that." Or that Holy Spirit will say, "You shouldn't have done that." What's happening? You are being corrected by the Spirit of God. Let Him help you to discipline you. Church problems are caused by people who won't discipline themselves, or they reject the Holy Spirit when He is disciplining them. Let's say you had a really big issue that was harmful and could really damage the church. Well, if I stood up and I preached on it and you heard it, but you wouldn't let the Holy Spirit convict you about it, you know what might end up having to happen? It may be that somebody will end up approaching you about it to try to help get it fixed. Wouldn't you have been better off telling yourself to fix it? Or letting the Holy Spirit prompt you from the inside to get it fixed? What are we talking about? The Holy Spirit disciplines in the church. It's far more pleasant. Wouldn't it be better if you got, you know how when you get convicted, you can be under conviction and you can sit there and you can stare at me and you can smile and I'd never know. You can sit there and I can think, "Hey, they are just enjoying this and they're good with this and this is all good." And you just smile like a possum eating honey. And on the inside, you're saying, "I'm in so much trouble right now. It's pathetic. I feel so bad about what's going on. I am guilty." Wouldn't it be better if you just kept smiling and fixed it within yourself instead of having to go to another step of correction? You fix you by the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can discipline. Thirdly, we have the Word of God that can discipline us. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You hear that? For reproof, for correction. There it is. The Word of God will discipline you. Do you know that the people in the church that must be verbally corrected are the ones who would not allow the Word of God to correct them in private, or the Spirit of God to correct them in private? They wouldn't correct themselves. Hey, if you read your Bible, the Bible will correct you. Here's the problem. You don't. You know, if somebody was doing something that they flat out should not be doing, and it got to the point where somebody just needed to talk with them, here's my first thought. Don't you read your Bible? When's the last time you read your Bible? What does the Bible say about that? Why make me have contention with you over something that's very clear in the Bible? Or do you just pick and choose what parts of the Bible you like? Which usually doesn't include the ones that would convict you about your wrongdoing. But the Bible will discipline. It's great at disciplining. What are you saying? Let the Bible spank you. Let the Holy Spirit spank you. You spank you. People worry about, well, I be corrected. I don't see any reason why you have to be corrected if you're willing to correct yourself and you'll let the Holy Spirit correct you and you'll let your reading of your Bible and the Word of God correct you. Why would there ever come a point where somebody had to call you down? You young people, you say, preacher, I don't want my mom and dad to correct me anymore. Me neither. And your mom and dad don't want to correct you anymore. We could make you a deal tonight. You correct you. Then they wouldn't have to do it anymore. Make it a lot easier. I don't know of a parent that enjoys disciplining and correcting their children. We don't like it. Hey, parents don't get together privately and all sit around a candle at midnight going, how could we get them? What could we do with them? No, the minute you do something dumb, the minute you do something you shouldn't do, we're brokenhearted and we're thinking, oh, great, here we go again. We got to correct again. We don't want to correct. But young people, you sit and you hear preaching and teaching. You hear the Bible. Let it correct you. You don't need someone to do it. And if it gets to the point where you're mad at me, I'll guarantee you somewhere along the line, you could have corrected you. Somewhere along the line, the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart. Somewhere along the line, the Bible spoke to your heart, and you ignored it. So, how do you discipline in the church? Well, if we'll self-discipline, if we'll let the Spirit of God discipline us, if we'll let the Bible discipline us, that's the best way. Then, did you know this? And I hate this next one. Did you know that if you won't discipline yourself, your wickedness or your sin will discipline you? Jeremiah 2:19 says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee. And it goes on and says, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. So you know, you start getting away from God, your sin will slap the holy snot out of you. So, and especially, the better you know to do right, maybe the heavier the discipline. Now, let's face it, if a child breaks a rule that they didn't even know was a rule, there's some patience that would be necessary. But when a child knows the rule and have grown up with the rule and been around the rule all their life and they heard it preached and 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 taught and taught and taught, and then they break it, God knows, when your sin corrects you, don't you be shocked if it doesn't come down on you pretty hot and heavy. Don't you be shocked if you don't fall pretty fast and hard. You know, you take the bus kids. Let's say that we've got a kid that comes in on the bus that doesn't have a mom and dad that talk to them about morality and keep their hands off the opposite sex. And they don't have that teaching. They've not grown up with that. You know, it may be that their sin will cause them a little grief. But let me warn some of you that have spent your whole life in a moral situation. You start doing wrong, you may find yourself in deep trouble faster than what you ever realized because you've been warned and 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 warned. Be careful, because the discipline, doesn't it make sense if somebody's been warned over and over and over and over again that the discipline sometimes might be a little harsher? Absolutely. So your sin will discipline you. If you don't believe me, find out what happens when you get picked up for drunk driving. It'll hit you pretty heavy. That they might throw you in jail. That they might cancel your insurance. That they might take your driver's license away from you. Yeah, you could lose your job. I mean, you do understand the complexity. What happened? Well, your sin got you. And sin has a way of disciplining. Young people have sex out of wedlock, end up pregnant. And you'll be shocked at how bad that is. Now, if that ever happens to you, I'll help you. I'll be your friend. I'll help you. God knows I don't want you to go through that. Your sin will correct you. Don't you think you'd be better off correcting yourself or letting the Holy Spirit correct you or letting the Bible correct you? Sure you would. Let me go on. There's another discipline that God uses in the church, and that is when God disciplines. God disciplines. Proverbs 3:12 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth." God corrects. God corrects his people. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Now here God said, I can step up and I'll get a little more personally involved and I can help correct. And I think God has special ways of spanking his kids. I think maybe the thing I ought to tell you is you're going to be the one that will best know if God is spanking you. But God does discipline. I mean, it's in the Bible. And the Bible says if you and I as parents are smart enough to know that the children of our flesh, our kids, if we know they have to be disciplined and corrected, so much the more doesn't our Heavenly Father know that you and I will need correction when we get out of hand. Now, there are things that can happen to you and I when God is correcting us. It doesn't mean that God stopped loving us. It means he's disciplining. He is practicing discipline in the church. Now, and let me tell you, your job is not to look at what's happening to me and to pass judgment on what could or could not be discipline from God on my life. And it's not my job to look at you and pass judgment on you what could or could be or may not be God's disciplining in life. But you might want to have a little meeting with God, because there are things that God can do that will get our attention by way of discipline. Now, Not everybody that is sick is being disciplined by God. But some are. The Bible teaches that. And let me say it again. Not everybody that is sick is God disciplining. But some are. Loss of money. Not everybody that loses money is being disciplined by God. But some are. And the Bible teaches that. The Bible teaches very clearly, if we don't give our tithe and our offering, then he will not restrict the devourer. In other words, you will be disciplined. Did you know he will get the tithe one way or another? You can give it the easy way, give it the hard way. But it's a form of discipline. The loss of peace. And I could prove every one of these with scripture after scripture after scripture. The loss of peace. Now, you say, I'm troubled. I don't think that because you're troubled, it is necessarily a sign that God is disciplining you. That is not always the case. But I will tell you this. The loss of peace is one of the ways that God disciplines. The loss of blessing in your life. The loss of productivity in your life. The loss of the Holy Spirit's sweetness in your life. You see, you sat in church and you're miserable. You're just miserable. What happened? Why, you hear a good song sung and you remember how your heart used to thrill at it and how it used to move you. And you like that. You say, wow, that is so good. Now, it doesn't interest you as much. What happened? Have you lost the sweetness of God's Holy Spirit? Have you lost the sweetness, that blessing? Now, you and God are the only ones that would know if God is disciplining you. And I think there are even sometimes when I've watched very humble people think, oh, is God disciplining me? And in my heart, I'm thinking, I just don't see that that's what's happening. So I think even sometimes you and I are not a good judge as to whether God is disciplining us or not. But I will tell you this, God does discipline. And I'll probably repeat this later on. If I were you, if we were having a pick your discipline night, and we could all pick which one we prefer, we'll pick our discipline. I think many of you'd say, I'll take the self-discipline. I'd rather correct me. Or I'll let the Holy Spirit correct me. Or I'll let the Bible correct me. We probably would rather that our wickedness not correct us, because that, now you're getting in pretty deep. But I'm going to tell you something. If God ever has to step in and say, I'm going to take this case on myself, you're going to be sorry. You're going to be sorry. Let me go on. Parents are to discipline their children. And now, tonight, I'm talking about church. What is scriptural church discipline? Parents, discipline your children. Proverbs 19:18 says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. Why would he be crying? Because he's being chastened. He's being corrected. The Bible says parents are to correct their children. Mom and dad, if your child is misbehaving or disrespectful at church, if you'll correct them, somebody else won't have to. I could not tell you how many times in the over 37,000 times that I've preached sermons, I've had to say, young people, behave back there. Stop acting on it. Stop playing with your telephone during church. You know something? A pastor would not have to say that if a mom and dad would take care of it. And then you say, well, what? You keep your nose out of our business. The church is my business. It is my business. It is my job to make sure that the church is protected and the church services are kept right and the Spirit of God can work. And you say, well, I don't want my child corrected like that. Neither do I. Do you realize what a cold blanket of... you know, realize what a bucket of water you throw on a service when you got to stop and correct some child that's not doing right? Who wants to do that? That's a bummer for me to have to do. You say, what do I do? Then you take care of it. You take care of it. This isn't terribly bad sin, but I don't think the children ought to be running in the hallways. But I will tell them to walk if they're running in the hallways. So I don't want you telling my child to run in the hallway. Then you tell them not to run in the hallway. Pastor, I don't like it when you get up there and talk about fornication and telling the kids to keep their hands off of each other. Then you tell your kids to keep their hands off of each other. You know what? If you'd tell them, would they have to have it from me? Not as much. I'd still have to say it because we have kids here that don't have parents that will tell them that. But it's still wrong. So what am I telling you? Parents, discipline your kids. That's a form of church discipline. That's a part of it. Parents, don't get mad at others for doing what you're supposed to do. And we're all supposed to be a team anyway. We're working together on this. Mrs. Owens and I, we didn't go around with, you know, a chip on our shoulder while our children were being raised at the church. I mean, if they did wrong in children's church, we wanted the children's church director to tell them to sit down and be quiet and behave themselves. We wanted that, and we backed the authority. We didn't undermine the authorities all the time. We didn't go around saying, well, you're not going to do this, and you're not going to do that. I've always felt for school principals and teachers. Boy, you got parents in there griping at them constantly. Oh, my child this. Why'd you treat my child this way? Why'd you treat my child that way? You know, if it's the same person over and 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 over again, you're thinking, somebody ought to spank you, mama. Let me go on. This next one, buckle down here. You're part of the new movement in America. This will be a little rough on you. Let me read a verse to you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 says, likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husband. That's still in the Bible. It's not been done away with because of equal rights. I believe that a lady is to be treated with dignity. I believe she's to be treated with respect. I believe there are two thrones in every home. There is the king and the queen. Well, there's probably three, but I won't mention the other one. But let me read to you another verse, 1 Peter 3:5. For after this manner, in old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Men, what you do is, in your home, first of all, you ought to lead your wife by example. If a man will discipline himself, his wife then could learn to discipline herself. The example's a fantastic thing. I believe if a man would set an example and let the Holy Spirit correct him, his wife could catch on to the Holy Spirit discipline. I believe if a man would let the Word of God correct him, then the wife could see the example of how to let the Word of God correct her. But if a wife will not get some things under control, a man ought to love her enough and have enough admiration and respect for her to sit down and talk to her about it. By the way, we're a team anyway. Aren't we supposed to be helping each other? Now, for you men that are just bullies, and you just love hearing that. You say, "Oh, get them, preacher." I'm not talking about bullying your wife, but I am telling you it's still in the Bible. And I think if a husband is trying to help his wife, I don't think you ought to attack her with the issue. I think you ought to come to her. Now, and here's the key. If you love her the way you're to love her, you can approach her. You can talk to her in love. I don't believe there is a woman under the sound of my voice, unless you're just a flat-out, hellcat, rebellious woman. I don't think there's a woman in here that in love could not have her husband approach her and say, "Honey, I love you, and there's something I want you to be careful of." I think most women I know would accept that. But now, let me throw this out here at you. You ladies that do not have a husband, or you ladies that do not have a godly husband in church, you better work real hard at self-disciplining. You better work real hard at listening to the Scripture and listening to the Holy Spirit and listening to the preaching and let that help you. I don't think, now there have been times in my life when I've maybe corrected Mrs. Owens on something. I didn't handle it right. I didn't handle it in humility. I didn't bathe it in prayer. I had not convinced her of the depth of my love and that it was an attack, and I just blew it. But there are other times when she and I will talk about something. I say, "I think we need to be careful about this," but she knows I love her, and I would not talk to her about something to hurt her. Now, if you can learn that, it'll make a real big difference. But I cannot bypass this part of discipline. Just like I say to you, if a parent will help their child at church, you won't find someone else needing to do it as much. And if a family, a husband-wife team, will help each other, you won't find other disciplines being as necessary. And it's just part of what the Bible teaches. I'll tell you something I do a lot. I'll even do this, and ladies, you might not even see it happen, and I don't want you. Some of you are scared of me. You don't have to be afraid of me. I'm not your enemy. I can raise my voice. I do stand where I stand. You'll find that out. I stand on the Scripture. But what'll happen is, let's say that Joe Blow and his wife, Mrs. Blow. I couldn't think of a good name. Joe Blow and his wife, Mrs. Blow. And Mrs. Blow, you know, she really needs to get something a little under control. She's hurting herself and some other people. I, as a pastor, there are times I won't even talk to her. I might go to him and say, "Hey, help your wife a little bit with this." But I can only do that when I know the husband's got some common sense. I can only do that when he's filled with the Holy Spirit. I can only do that when I know he'll be gentle and kind. If I think I'm going to go to him and say, "Hey, Mrs. Blow is acting up here, and I think you're going to take Mrs. Blow behind the barn, beat her with the do before," then I can't hardly help you to help her. And that it's almost the same way with kids. If parents would love their kids right, the discipline comes so much easier. I'm almost finished, but let me give you a couple more. You know that the Bible teaches about discipline. There needs to be an appropriateness in regard to areas of authority and discipline. 1 Peter 2:18 says, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear." You say, what's that talking about? I believe in the church there are areas of responsibility, and we will all get along quite well in the church if we'll be careful to let people that head an area of responsibility discipline in that area of responsibility. Brother Steed oversees King's Kids, and Aisha Crawford, she oversees the Flyers Club. Now, Mrs. Crawford never comes to me and says, "I don't think Brother Steed is disciplining right in King's Kids." But Brother Steed never comes to me and says, "Well, I don't think Mrs. Crawford is doing it right in the Flyers Club." You know what? Brother Steed disciplines in King's Kids, and Mrs. Crawford disciplines in Flyers Club. Some of you that are snooty, no, that's not the right word, snoopy. Let me tell you something. You got to be careful sticking your nose into everything because you're so smart. And see, that's a pride issue. But you stick your nose into everything, and you think you know better than the person that was there that is leading, and that's probably not the case. You know that I never get involved in another church's discipline. Say why? I got my own mess to take care of. Why would I want to be involved in theirs? And I'm not there, and I don't have anything to do with it, and I didn't see it. And so, and some of you, you make judgment calls about other people's churches. Could I recommend something? Keep your nose out of everybody else's business. Keep your nose out of their business. And guess what? If somebody here that ran a ministry wanted your help, they would have came to you. But obviously, they don't want your help. You say, "I'm offended." You think you're offended now? Wait until you really get an understanding on this. But we, if you have an area of responsibility, the right way of handling it, Brother Reapsummer will discipline on Brother Reapsummer's bus. Brother Edwards will discipline in the choir. And I'm not talking about, again, taking somebody behind the barn and beating them. I'm talking about if something needs corrected in the choir, we got a choir director to correct it. If something needs corrected on Brother Tom's route, Brother Tom will correct it. If Brother Ellswick will help and to discipline in with the youth department. Brother Young will discipline in children's church. And if I let Brother Young take care of what Brother Young is there, he sees it, he's watching it, I'll let him take care of that, and I'll let Brother Edwards take care of the choir, and I'll let Brother Tom take care of his bus route. Do you know that if everybody would let the leader in their area discipline in their area, you'd have far less grief? Some of you at work. I'll tell you why you can't get along with people. People don't trust you. There's some of you got your nose in everything. "Well, I think the person over here in this department ought to do this." Well, if you're so smart, why aren't you in charge of it? You're just a lunch table critic. There's some of you are miserable at work. You got a good job, but you're a miserable person because you can't keep your nose in your area of jurisdiction. Say, "But they won't let me run anything." No, they won't. They won't give me any power. I wonder why. I got to look at how many of these I got left. Okay, I'll shorten them. As a pastor, I want you to understand, I will discipline. As I get employees, I'll discipline them. The Bible teaches that. And you say, "Well, who's going to discipline Brother Tom and his bus route?" Well, I'm the bus director. I will. Colossians 3:22-24, it says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh." And it goes all the way through there and talks about the leadership helping those under them to. And discipline's purpose is not to destroy someone. It's to help them. It's to guide them. It's to direct them. Now, look, I don't go to McDonald's to correct their workers. And I'll tell you this, if I did, I would not walk into McDonald's and tear into somebody behind the counter. If I had a beef with McDonald's, I'd go see their manager. Because that the manager's job is to correct that person, not the client. And I feel the same way. I don't correct people in other people's churches. I don't do that. I am to take care of my area of jurisdiction. You say, "Well, Pastor, who in the world is going to correct you?" I'll tell you that. First of all, I need to stay on myself, just like you do. I need to correct myself. Secondly, I need to walk in the Spirit so the Spirit can correct me. Thirdly, I need the Word of God to correct me, just like the Word of God corrects you. Next, God is my boss, and He will correct me. Psalm 105, verse 15 says, saying, touch not mine anointed, nor do my prophets any harm. One thing that's telling you is be careful, because the man of God, just I don't want to hurt your feelings if you're a part of this church, but just so you know, I don't work for you. Now, I'm your pastor, but I work for God. He's my boss. The United States government is not my boss. Now, I'm for keeping the laws of the land, and I believe that, but they're not my boss. God's my boss. He say, well, we give you a paycheck. You know where the money came from? Came from God. The Bible says in Jeremiah 23, verse 1 and 2, woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you. You ought to thank God that you have someone between you and God that will correct you. Do you know how I get corrected? I get taken into the big guy's office. Very, very direct. Sometime if you would like to take my discipline for me, I'd be glad to send you in. He said, I'm managing you. I will personally deal with you. I would rather be dealt with. I'd rather self-discipline. I'd rather discipline with the Holy Spirit. I'd rather discipline by the Word of God. I'd even rather my wrong get me. But when God says, Owens, I'm going to nail you, He has a way of doing it. The Bible even says in the book of Jeremiah chapter 23, He sets shepherds up and He takes shepherds down. A shepherd is the pastor of the flock. God can just take me out. And God can, and God will. God says, that's my job. I will discipline him. I will correct him. I would rather be disciplined by man than by God. Because when God does it, now he'll be just, he'll be fair, but God can be pretty pungent. Yeah, I've overseen many schools. And I just can't tell you. When I would have someone, as a president of a Bible college, and you've got a young person that's college age, and they've gotten themselves in enough trouble that they're about to be expelled for their behavior, they're going to come to my office and talk with me personally. I've watched grown 25-year-old men standing in a hallway weeping and trembling because they have to face the person that's at the top of the leadership scale in that school. That's nothing compared to facing God. Nothing. So I just say to you, let's all understand scriptural discipline. If we do it the ways that I taught you all the way back at the beginning of the sermon, we're so much better off that way. Don't ever let it get to the point where somebody actually has to say, well, you're not listening to anything that anybody's saying. Now we got to bring this up in person to you. That's a crummy thing. I hate that kind of thing as a pastor. Just hate it. I do everything I can to avoid that. And you ought to want to avoid that. Let's help ourselves and our church. The psalmist said, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are vexed. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're not saved tonight, we want to welcome you to the Savior. If you're a Christian tonight and you've wondered about scriptural discipline, you've learned about, in a nutshell, about 9 out of 10 points that will help you very, very much. We're going to have an altar call. In a moment, we're all going to stand. There are some of you parents, don't stop disciplining your children. It is a sign of love. And what you've been taught tonight's not been taught harshly. I'm not mad at anybody, and I'm not trying to fix anything. We don't have discipline problems. We don't. But let's let discipline have its proper place in our lives. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need a moment at this altar, you may certainly come. And let me remind you, you are far better off disciplining yourself letting the Spirit discipline you, let the Word of God discipline you. And when your life is beginning to fall apart because you've been misbehaving, don't be shocked. Don't get angry with God. He told you, you get yourself in a mess, then there's going to be a little price to pay. I happen to believe that when we discipline as leaders, the goal was not to beat the dignity out of someone. It's to help them. It's to love them. There could be a little harshness to it. There could be a little. It may be inconvenient for them. It may be a little hard. But I'm not trying to take away all their dignity. I'll try to keep that dignity in place because I want to salvage them and I want them to go on and serve God. I want them to get it right and fix it and get the bad out of their life so they can keep on serving. This will be the last time through our song, and then we'll be on our way.